Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. Good to see you out today on such a snowy, slippery day. Especially, I know some of you come from a long way, and it's really good to see you here out for our service this morning. I want to extend a welcome and an invitation to those of you who may be here for the first time or just new to the church. Right after this service, we have what we call newbie lunch. And it's Jet's Pizza with the salad and beverages and so forth. And it's an opportunity for you to meet people like me and the other leaders here at the church. We'd warmly welcome you to come to that. You got to eat anyway, right? So why not come to our lunch? Just stick around. It's right down the hallway there. Well, I invite you to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along today. This Sunday in January is what's called Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's a day for celebrating the value of every human life. Every year on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, Christians all over the country, millions of Christians, celebrate the value of life of every child, declaring that their lives matter. And we also mourn the loss of the 62 million children, 62 million that have been put to death since 1973, when all laws against abortion were struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. But we also insist that we, as Jesus followers, have to be proactively pro-life. We need to be part of the solution, not just against something, but for life, proactively, helping people. You know, I have some very strongly pro-choice friends, and every so often we get into a discussion about the topic of abortion. And when I do, I am 100% committed to sharing my views with respect and kindness and being a good listener with them. But I'm also aware that I need to share the truth with them directly and plainly. But again, with respect and kindness, as Jesus himself would do. And often in these discussions, my pro-choice friends will say, "But what about the mother? Aren't you guys concerned about her? What about a woman who tries to bring a child in the world when it would be extremely hard for her to care for that child? Do you care about her, or are you just against abortion?" It's a fair question. It's an important question. It's a question that I'm delighted to answer. And today, we're going to take some time to answer this question. What more can we do? How can we be more than just anti-abortion, but proactively pro-life all around? What can the average Jesus follower do to help beyond just voting or just talking? Well, today I'm interviewing a woman who has served on the front lines helping abortion-vulnerable women and post-abortive women find hope, find tangible help and wholeness in Jesus Christ. We're learning about what Christians can do, what you can do, what I can do, what Stony Creek Church is doing to be proactively pro-life. But first, let me address a more basic question. You may be sincerely wondering, why should I be pro-life? I mean, doesn't a woman have the right to decide what happens to her body? Well, today, let me quickly share with you, before we get to our interview, three persuasive reasons to be proactively pro-life. These are there listed on your outline, and I invite you to fill in the blanks. The first persuasive reason is because every life is precious. It's priceless. You know, human life is unique on planet Earth. It is more valuable. One life is more valuable than your house. You may not feel that way about a person that you meet on the street that you've never met before, but that life is objectively more valuable than your net worth. It's more valuable than any animal, any deer, any horse, even your dog or cat. It's more valuable. Why? Because human life, all human life, is created to represent God Himself. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, a verse we quote a lot here at Stony, and you can help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. We are the physical representations of the invisible, non-physical God. Every human life is like a priceless work of art, or a Rembrandt, or a Van Gogh painting with the artist's signature on the bottom corner. And though we're priceless, we're also damaged works of art, are we not? We're damaged through our rebellion against God. The Bible calls it sin. We're damaged. We're priceless works of art, but we're damaged. But if a Rembrandt painting, priceless work of art, let's say it gets damaged at the museum somehow, badly damaged. Can you imagine the museum just throwing it out? Well, take it out to the dumpster, you know? No way! They would spend a fortune to restore that work of art because it's irreplaceable. It's an original. Likewise, every human is an original from the hand of the master artist. And God has paid a limitless fortune to save, to restore every person on the planet through the cross of Christ. Every life is precious. Doesn't matter what you've done or failed to do. Doesn't matter how badly you've messed up. Maybe you've had an abortion yourself or helped somebody to have one, or maybe you've had multiple abortions. Your life is precious to God. And I can prove it. God Himself in Jesus Christ gave His own infinitely valuable life to save you. Let's look at the second persuasive reason to be proactively pro-life. Number two on your outline. Because a child's life begins at conception. Recently, I watched a video clip. It was on YouTube. It was of Dr. Phil. And he was interviewing the very famous pro-life activist, Lila Rose. And she always does such a good job. But he was insisting to her that this issue of when life begins has not really been settled by scientists. So it's very controversial, and there is no consensus. Some say this and some say that, and you can't really say that there's one view on this. And she was objecting. She was saying, no, that's not right. That's not right, Dr. Phil. Life begins at conception, and scientists recognize this. And when he kept pushing back at her, she said, well, if it's not a life, why do they have to kill it? Thought it was a good comeback. Dr. Phil should know better. If he's a doctor, he should know better. It's a well-established fact in medical science that human life begins at conception. Dr. Stephen Jacobs surveyed 5,577 biologists, asking them, when does life begin? The results, 95% of them said human life begins at conception, that is, at fertilization. You say, well, maybe these biologists were biased. Maybe he just surveyed Christian biologists or pro-life biologists who work at Christian schools or something like that. Not so. The majority of the sample identified as 89% liberal, 85% pro-choice, and 63% non-religious. And these were not simply high school biology teachers. Now, nothing against them at all. We need them. They're great. But these were experts in the field. These were professors at accredited universities. Jacob's survey included professors of biology departments of over 1,000 institutions worldwide. So it wasn't just one country, it was all over the world. You want to follow the science? Then follow the science. Life begins at conception. The third reason to be proactively pro-life, number three on your outline, because taking a child's life is evil. You know, once you come to grips with the fact that a child's life begins at the moment of conception, you're faced with a jaw-dropping realization, one that you might try to deny because it's so horrific, and that is that the leading cause of death in the world is not heart disease, it's not cancer, it's not auto accidents or COVID or stroke or overdoses or violent crime. No, the leading cause of death in the world is abortion. Children whose lives were ended in the womb or just out of the womb, that is being done more and more these days. What's God's position on abortion? Well, the sixth commandment couldn't make it any clearer. You shall not murder. There it is. Every human life is priceless. Human life begins at conception, and taking a child's life is wrong. These are three powerful reasons to be proactively pro-life. Now, many of you have heard this before, and perhaps you're thinking, look, Randy, come on. You know, Roe versus Wade was overturned last year. You didn't get the memo? And so, can't we move on and talk about something else other than abortion? Can't we talk about other issues? Well, of course we talk about a lot of issues, but unfortunately, abortion is still a major killer. The Dobbs decision last June did not outlaw abortion. It only passed the decision onto the states, you see. So every state has to pass their own abortion laws, whether pro-life or pro-choice. Some states have enacted some very good laws, such as Texas, where since last summer, abortions have dropped, get this, 99%. Some people say, laws, they don't make any difference. Well, they do make some difference. Look at this. In June, there were 2,596 abortions in Texas. But in August, after their law was triggered because the Supreme Court decision, their law against abortion, there were only 3 abortions in the whole state of Texas reported. 3 abortions, and those were called medically necessary. An estimated 50,000 lives have been saved in Texas since September. That is staggering. It's great news. Similarly, in Kentucky, abortions, as you can see from this chart, have dropped, just plummeted since, here's the overturning of Roe versus Wade on June 24th, and then that triggered their law, their ban to be enforced. Look at it, it just plummeted, dropped like a rock since that law was enacted. These things are, these statistics, they're huge answers to prayer. The decades of hard work of countless people, you know, praying and demonstrating and volunteering and sending emails and letters to politicians and so forth. All of that has been a good thing and has saved lives, but it's not over. Other states, like Michigan, for example, have enacted some atrocious laws, worse than anything else. And yet, as I have said, till I'm blue in the face, this issue is not ultimately about politics or laws or getting the right people in office. It's about changing the hearts and souls and minds of people with the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus saves souls, souls start saving lives because their minds, their hearts are changed, and they don't see an abortion as a viable alternative, whether it's lawful or not. Jesus loves every person. He died for our sins and arose from the dead so that whoever repents and trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior shall not perish but have everlasting life. Ours is a message of life all the way around. You're about to witness a recorded interview I did with Cynthia Oreske. She's sitting back there, yeah. Well, Cynthia and her husband Theo are longtime members here at Stony Creek Church. And for many years, Cynthia has volunteered at the Compassion Pregnancy Center in Clinton Township. She has counseled countless women with unwanted pregnancies, women who've had abortions, and fathers who've been involved. She's a resource. She's a role model. Very inspirational for us who are called to help. So let's watch this interview together. Welcome, Cynthia. Really appreciate you taking the time to share about these things. Tell us a little bit about the Compassion Pregnancy Center. What kind of work do they do there?
Okay, Compassion Pregnancy is in Clinton Township, Macomb County. We are a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center. So we help women in any type of crisis pregnancy. We have women that come there that can be abortion determined or vulnerable. Or those that
abortion
just
determined. What's that mean?
Okay, so that means that in their mind, they pretty much know that they want to have an abortion.
I see.
We are very open when they call us that we do not do or refer for abortions. We make sure that we state that clearly. Mm-hmm. We don't hide that fact. We don't pretend.
You mentioned it's in Macomb County. That's, of course, the county that our church is in.
Yes.
Are there a lot of abortions in Macomb County?
Actually, surprisingly, yes. A lot more than you would think. The recent stats we have are in, from 2021. And in 2021 in Macomb County, there were 3,139 abortions, which were 18% of all pregnancies.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's staggering.
Yeah, it really is. How many abortions happen in Michigan during that year total?
It was 30,074. That was the figure, yes.
How many people does your center, the Compassion Center, how many do they see, say, a week or a month? Or?
So in the past 12 months, we've served about 518 clients with 1,851 visits, client visits. Mm-hmm. Of those, we've been able to share the good news of Jesus with 225 clients. Mm. Our diagnostic nurse has performed 151 ultrasounds and 263 pregnancy tests. Mm-hmm. And of those clients, 172 have made life decisions. Mm-hmm. To choose life for their unborn baby. That's a huge number of life decisions.
Yes.
In 1 year.
It's amazing.
So it's very important what work that we do there. How can I say this? We don't make any money off them. You know, we want to give them all the information that they need to make a good decision that they're not going to regret later in their life. You know, because we are a nonprofit, we don't charge for anything. You know, and I've stressed this with a couple clients over that time period that, you know, we're not making money off you. You know, most of our people are volunteers. If you go to an abortion clinic first, they have an agenda. They are in it it's a business, and they are in it to make profit. Mm. So
they have a vested interest in,
yes,
in the woman choosing an abortion.
Yes.
And they make money from that.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys don't make money. It doesn't matter what you do, you don't make any money on it.
No, we do not. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, everything is free. And we try to make sure that they know that, look, you can come. You know, we don't judge you. We're very compassionate. It's our name, open. We want you to feel welcome. And we go beyond to make our clients feel welcome, mm-hmm, and loved, and that we're there for them.
Mm. You said you have a nurse there, did you say you have a doctor that
we
works
do,
there?
We do, actually. We have a nurse and that does the ultrasounds, that meets, mm-hmm, with the clients on our medical. We have like a medical suite side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we are all under the direction of a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees like all the ultrasounds, anything, mm-hmm, like that goes through him.
And he's volunteering his services.
Oh, yes. You know. Yeah, oh, yes, it's a volunteer. Mm-hmm. We have very few positions. We have a director that's a paid position, the nurse, a lot of part-time nurse and medical receptionist, and maybe a client services, but everyone else is volunteer. I can't even tell you how many volunteers we have. We have a lot. So, I know.
So, is there any federal assistance that you get?
No.
No.
We get zero government money, and for many reasons, we don't take government money. Mm. We couldn't do what we do. We couldn't talk to people about Jesus, about, you know, true life-changing, you know, and our clients are hungry, you know.
Yeah.
They're hungry for truth. They're hungry to be loved, you know, to be accepted. You know, many have had abortions in the past, and they feel shame and regret for them, and we have services for that as well. Our post-abortion recovery counseling we offer, not only for clients, but people don't know this, but for anybody. Anybody that's recently had abortion or 20, 30, 40 plus years ago can come, and we will, very confidential, of course, we have a special program for that because so many people or so many women that I've counseled, you know, just have regrets. And like I said, either they feel that they were pressured or forced, or they didn't want to have the abortion, but they didn't feel there was any other option at the time. So the post-abortion recovery counseling just helps so much, just to free, to give freedom, to forgive themselves, to not harbor that anymore. I mean, it's a long process that they go through. It's very involved. You have to take special training to counsel. I've done that for, I have about 16 years of experience doing that.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started when my kids were really young. And God just worked it out, because I was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to be there, you know, I will be there.
Recently in Michigan, we had this Proposal 3 that was passed. Could you tell us a little bit, just quickly, in a sentence or two, maybe what this proposal was about and why so many pro-life people were very, very concerned about it?
Yes, as it should be. Well, it's the real impact of the proposal isn't really known yet. The wording was purposely vague. Part of the wording, just like one sentence of it, states that an individual's right to reproductive freedom shall not be denied, burdened, or infringed upon. It goes on, but an individual, it doesn't give any specifics. What individual? Adult? Minor? We're very concerned. We have laws on the book in Michigan now that a minor has to have parental consent to have an abortion or get a judicial override without that. And so we're really concerned how that's going to affect that.
So potentially you could have minors who are making these decisions apart from their parents, maybe even knowing about it. Is that right?
Yes.
Potentially?
Potentially, yes. The other thing, on the laws right now, currently abortion is legal through viability. So part of the verbiage of the proposal says the state may regulate the provision of abortion care after fetal viability.
Okay, well, if I'm sitting here in the Stony Creek congregation and I'm wondering, what can I do to help women with unwanted pregnancies, or a person maybe struggling with guilt over an abortion or something like that, what would you suggest? What are some practical things we can do?
Well, first and foremost, would be just to pray for our ministry. It's so important, you know, to pray for our volunteers, pray for everyone involved there. Mm-hmm. And two, also, one of the things that we used to do when we'd pray before our shifts is pray for the doctors that are working at abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, and for the people involved with that. Mm-hmm. We would pray for them every time.
Hmm. Okay, so I can pray. Mm-hmm. What else can
I do? So the second greatest need beyond prayer is financial need. Hmm. We have numerous financial needs. As we talked about, we don't get any government funding. We have minimal staff, so we do have mostly volunteers. I just found out we're in need of storage, climate-controlled storage facility or unit that someone maybe could donate or pay for. I don't know. Hmm. God leads them, because we don't have enough room to keep all the diapers and wipes and formula and baby things at the center, so we need to store them. Let's see, other financial support, things that are happening right now that your support would go towards, which is really exciting. We're starting a new prenatal care clinic for uninsured women who've made a life decision, and that will provide them with assistance in applying for Medicaid and give them a health care safety net until their insurance is in place. Because a lot of times people, their prenatal care is delayed, which is so important for the health of them and their baby. So that's huge. We're doing that. We're going to also start a fabulous new program. It's a sexual risk avoidance program that we're going to prayerfully take into the public schools. And we're hoping to equip students to remain abstinent until marriage, and then also teach them of our services should they ever be in need. And then also, I just want to also add that we need, of course, material goods. Mm-hmm. So everything that we got for our clients, gently used items, people have donated. Mm. So we take any baby items, clothing, coats, boots, anything up to size 4T, mm-hmm. Strollers, high chairs, extra saucers, things like that. Mm. Things that we can't take used would be like cribs and car seats, which sometimes people will raise money or do things or buy those outright and donate them, which is very, very important. They are always in low supply. People are always
needing that. So those have to come in new, though.
They
right?
do.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. yeah, okay.
Yeah, so.
Excellent. Well, Cynthia, thanks so much for your work and for sharing with us. And thank you for the work that you do. It's crucial. It's life-giving. It's life-saving.
Just think, 172 lives saved in just that 1 year that she cited. That's amazing. And also to know that they're reaching out to these women with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's more than just saving a physical life. It's getting somebody saved for all eternity. And I know I have served on the board of directors of the Crossroads Pregnancy Center, where some of our missions money goes to support them. That's in Oakland County, another great resource. I know firsthand the work that they do is so powerful and effective. But maybe you're thinking, well, that's nice, but that's only, you know, one center in Macomb and one in Oakland. And yeah, 172 lives saved, that's great, but my goodness, 18% of pregnancies in Michigan end up aborted. 30,000 a year aborted. You say, man, Christians need to get on the stick and really do something about this. Well, we are doing some things about this. I get tired of hearing people say, well, you guys aren't doing anything about this.
Not so fast. We are. I'm glad, of course, for these two centers, but there are only two of thousands like them across the country. Currently in the United States, there are 5,300 federally qualified pro-life health centers and another 2,700 pregnancy centers like Crossroads and Compassion. You say, well, that's good, but what about all those, the number of Planned Parenthood clinics? Well, there are 585 Planned Parenthood clinics. That's, of course, 585 too many. But it's not like Christians aren't doing anything. Quite to the contrary. We may not enjoy the generous fawning media attention that the pro-choicers get. I learned this just firsthand this past week when I was doing some research on this. Just try Googling pro-life stuff like pro-life female activists. Almost nothing comes up, even though there are more female pro-life activists than there are male pro-life activists. This is just one example. Google suppresses this stuff. You have to go way down before you find anything, almost anything, that's pro-life. Everything else, even when you type in pro-life, it gives you pro-choice stuff. And there are other search engines that don't do that, that are better. But that just shows you, I mean, we're not enjoying the same kind of attention. But behind the scenes, dedicated, hard-working, pro-life Christians have been saving lives, helping moms and babies and dads. And it's almost always at their own expense of time and money. This is Christianity in action. It may not be the woke thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. The task ahead of us is still overwhelming. Let me just close with some things that I put there on your outline, because I want you to have these things, all right? But I'm going to go through them here real quickly. Things that we can do. First of all, as Cynthia said, pray. Pray habitually for God to change hearts. You can change a law, but that isn't going to change the person's behavior. Change of heart is what's needed. We've got to pray for revival in our country, in our community. Next, share your testimony and the gospel message with unsaved friends. When you save a soul, the soul will end up saving lives. Only Jesus, of course, can save a soul, but we have a part in this. They're not going to hear unless somebody tells them. Next, get up to speed on the facts. Too many Christians are ignorant of the facts. I've listed some good websites there on your outline where you can get reliable information. Next, engage in respectful, underline that, respectful dialogue with pro-choicers. Never be unkind. Never be disrespectful in your talking with them, but share with them. Share with them. You find that when you show respect, people are much more open. And if you listen, too, listen to what they have to say. Next, reach out with compassion to hurting women with unwanted pregnancies. People that you may run into, people you may know at work or a neighbor or whatever, and direct them to resources. Point them to where they can go to get help, and help them yourself in any way that you can. Next, volunteer at Crossroads, That's the one that Stony supports with our mission dollars. Or Compassion, where Cynthia works there. And you can see the program insert. This is a newsletter put out by Crossroads Center that lists some of the things they're doing, some of the updates, and some of the needs that they have that you can help out with. And then finally, always vote pro-life. Don't vote to put somebody in office who's going to work against the cause of life. That doesn't make good sense at all. Well, we're going to close now our service here in just a few minutes. But I'm going to ask that you stand, and we're going to pray. Kristen Franz is our missions team leader. And she's going to lead us in a prayer for the Crossroads Center as we are about to close our service. And then we're going to have a closing worship song, so just remain standing. Kristen?
Let's go before our Heavenly Father, His throne of grace and mercy. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, Jesus, you taught us to start our prayers that way. Our Father, God, we are so thankful. We praise your name that we can call you Father, that you have chosen to adopt us as sons and daughters because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. We know, Lord, how much you love life and value life, all life. God, we want to, as a church, affirm that and affirm life even as it begins at conception. God, we thank you for the good work that you're doing at Crossroads Care Center and Compassion Pregnancy Center and other centers in Michigan like that. We do pray particularly today for our mission partner, Crossroads. We thank you, Lord, for the good work that the volunteers, the receptionists, the counselors, the nurses, doctors, business people all do there. We pray for them for strength, for encouragement, for endurance to get through the hard times. We pray for the right words to say to the women and men who are there with just difficulties and troublesome pregnancies. We pray, Lord, for Crossroads, that they would have, they're asking for prayer for a larger space. We thank you, God, that they're able to really be an effective ministry and that they have this problem, that they need more space. We pray for that. We pray that you would provide that room and with medical facilities attached that women and men can see ultrasounds and women can get pregnancy tests and meet with nurses and just go through prenatal care and even birthing classes, all of those things. Thank you for those services, and we pray that as Crossroads grows, that you would provide more space for them. We pray also they're in need of some donations of car seats, formula, baby food, clothing, all those things, Lord. We pray for people's generosity in donating those. We pray also for their benefit banquet that they have coming up in March, Lord, that it would be very well attended. And I pray especially for new supporters to come, for new people to hear the good work that Crossroads is doing and want to be part of that and support it prayerfully and financially. We pray also for our Michigan legislature, Lord. We pray that you would change hearts, that you would turn hearts to you. Father, that that the Michigan legislature would support the work of Crossroads and Compassion and other pregnancy centers, that they would see the value in life and that they would make decisions supporting life choices. And we also pray, Father, especially for the women coming into Crossroads, that they would choose life. Lord, work in their hearts to stir compassion, tenderness towards their babies. And we pray also for the men and women and families that come, that they would, more than anything, encounter Christ at Crossroads, that they would hear the good news of the gospel, that you loved them enough to send your son to die on the cross to take away the punishment for their sins, Lord, and that they would choose to submit their lives to you. We pray for changed hearts. Thank you for this time together. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.